You and I have been mightily blessed when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. And in that blessing, he has let us know, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. It doesn't matter where you go, I'm going to be there. It doesn't matter where you do or where you lead me, I'm going to be there with you. In the bad cases of the stupid you're going to have, I'm going to be there. Because I love you, I have conquered for you, and I have a commitment that you need to fulfill in your life. When I said yes to Jesus, I made a commitment. But it wasn't until I was 30 years old that I really understood what that commitment entailed. Because I was saved and I would, you know, I'd followed Christ in baptism. And knowing that I'm going to heaven, you mean there's more? Well, you see, salvation is the beginning of our true walk and work with Christ. And following through with his will for our life. I realized at 30 years old, God called me to preach. Wasn't a popular announcement that I would make. But I did make that announcement. And since that time, I have grown and realized that in a calling, that calling is for you or me as Christians to teach and preach his word, not ours. To make a commitment of service, which so often means self-sacrifice. Do any of us really believe that we could sacrifice any more than what Christ has sacrificed for us? Do we really believe that we would have the love for one another that Christ has for us while we were yet in sin to die for us? Each one of us would like to think that, well, you know, if I'd have been there in the choice between Barabbas and Jesus, I'd have yelled for Jesus. No, you wouldn't have. Wasn't popular in that century, in that culture. Because you see, Jesus represented something that no other Messiah, Savior, prophet had ever stated. Jesus is the only prophet from God, the only human being, 100%, Jesus is the only one who ever claimed to be God. So therefore, once the proclamation of, I have never said anything that my Father has not given me to say, because my Father and I are one, such a declaration had never been heard of. And when you have God in your midst, it means that people are going to pay attention. See, and when we try to think that we're going to get God out of our mind and that we're going to go here or go there and we're just going to move God out of the way and not think of him, then we're doing fine. Because therefore I don't come under conviction if I leave God at the door. You got a problem. You didn't leave Jesus at the door. He's right in there with you. And he said, I've called you to my service and to my service for a purpose. Will you live for me? I died for you and conquered all there is to conquer for you. The last evil power that I will conquer is death. Folks, Christians, listen to me. He conquered death already. People say, well, one of these days, see, I won't have to die. There'll be no more death. So that will be the culmination of Christ saying, I have conquered death. You're wrong. You and I will never die. Death has already been conquered for us. I will never see the grave. This body is going to evaporate into ashes in the ground. But I will never see the grave. Why? Because Jesus, my Savior, conquered death. He died for me. He died for you. He lifted up his voice to remind us of what he was doing. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you and I, when we say yes to Jesus, we understand that God the Father actually turned his back on his Son. The only point of what we call history, the only time ever that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were not united. And he did that for you and me. He had to feel the loneliness and the heartbreak of destruction of the physical body, as well as to be absent from the Father and his love. Had to be conquered for you and me. You and I do not have to die on the cross for salvation of any of our family members. We may die because of our Christian convictions. Oh gosh, what a homecoming that's going to be. You talk about shouting? Because as a Christian, only the body dies. You and I will never see death. So there it is. Somebody killing you because you stand up, praise Jesus. The only thing, folks, that is real in this existence is Jesus. The only thing that is going to survive and is true in your life, when people say, well, no, Christianity is a fictitious story, a cult. Heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are the only ones and things that are real. You and I are living in a fogged world. We see that a lot of times. You hear the politicians, they stay in a fog. Gosh, think of it. You and I live in a world that has yet to grasp the love of God. For surely, if you and I as Christians truly hold God's love dear to us, would we not then express that love by keeping our commitment to him? Do we think that we own anything he hasn't given us? Do you think that the peace of mind that you think you have only for a short period, he really wants to lengthen that time of peace in your mind? He wants to give to you and give to me more time with him. He invites us to come in and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to have a disciplined life, not a life of habit. I want you to have a disciplined life to where you really know that all that you're doing is to glorify God. See, sermons are already printed. Somebody asked me once, did I get sermons out of a book? Yes, it's called the Bible. Loaded with them. You ought to try that book. Great book. Still number one, I think. Even above Bill O'Reilly on Fox. Stays that way. Well, you see, it's in that word where you can listen to God's word in your heart. Think of that. Well, what happens with us as Christians? Too often in your life and my life, we watch something go on. Our Christian parents, if you have them, will see to it that you're in church, grandparents and all. Woe be unto you if you think you're going to sleep through it. Not going to happen. You will come to God's house. But then after graduation, many go off in their different ways to colleges and trade schools. And through the 20s, seems to me like now is the age of really bad cases of the stupid things that are done. But somewhere in there, we realize something. Everything I was taught by those who love me is real. It is true. And without Christ, I can't make it in this world. You see, when you and I realize that, we'll be about the commitment God has called us to keep. From sermon to sermon, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to share my love. I'll give it to you. Will you not share it? Tell them the truth. There is one name, and one name only, by which one must be saved, and that name is Jesus. Amen. I will come into them. I will sup with them. I will listen to them. I will protect them. I will, because I am. The Pharisees didn't like it when he got anywhere close to I am, because they remembered the old scriptures. Moses, you've asked me who to tell them you are, who to tell them that I am. Tell them I am sent you. God is all there is. The only thing real is what you and I have not seen yet. The only thing that's going to last is what you and I cannot view. I cannot view my spirit. I do know that inside of me, that there's so much that goes on. It's a whole lot going on. Inside of me, there's so much that goes on. Why? Because my spirit, born again existence, is warring against me. Your brain up here is human. For those of you who think that that's your spirit, it's not. It's going to rot with the rest of your body, okay? All right. You have a spirit. Why do you think you're in a battle? Because the spirit is of Christ is trying to explain to us that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But our mind thinks we are. And every time we really get to thinking how we are in charge, God brings us down more notches. Why does he do that? Because he loves us. And because he wants us to understand eternity. You see, eternity for you and me has already begun. I don't leave this body and enter eternity. I'm already in eternity, because I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came to die for my sins and for yours. I believe on the third day that he arose from the grave, conquering all. Therefore, I know. Not something I just guess at. I know. And I can't explain how I know. And that's why I know I know. If I could explain it, it wouldn't be God. Amen. So God says, here's my plan. Please, let me save you a little tad of embarrassment. Don't go to God and say, Lord, this is the plan I want you to bless. Doesn't work that way. The scripture tells us that our Father in heaven knew us long before time existed. He knew when we would be born, and he knew what we would end up being. But in all of that, and it's the great dilemma of the minds, how could an all-knowing God allow the human race to have freedom of choice, which he does? And the answer is, I don't know. And when other people tell you, here's the answer, don't believe it, because they don't know either. If I knew, then, and when I know, I won't be here. But God reaches out to us. But he says to us, heart to heart, Christ sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the Son of the living God, watching you, watching me. And Christ sits there. And by his own commitment to us, lets his Father know, and our Father, that we are his brothers and sisters. God listens for the cry from the heart of his children. He awaits the love that is given to us to come back from us to one another. For the love he gave was straight from heaven. The truth, it lies within the mind of God. The love so strong, one of these days, down that road with Jesus all alone, two by two, each one of us will walk. Because you see, he loves me and he loves you. He said, I've come for a purpose, and you are that one. You're the one for whom I gave my only son. When I pour out to you all I have, do you give back? Do you look at all that I've given, all you've collected, all your life, the word you've neglected? Yet I gave you the truth for living in this body. For one day I will shut the mouth, and my spirit will strive no longer with man. The preachers will no longer proclaim the truth of the Son of Man. The pulpits will be full with people who enjoy pats on the back and tell how great a joy that they take in being able to tell everyone, just be good. Don't worry about the sun. It's a good story, a story true. But what will you do when you can't hear that story anew? From time to time, off the lips of my servants, I have sent my word and offered my service. Has the church backed away so far and so wide that we've decided to go in the world to hide? I am your God. I love you so much. But when I look at your heart, it's me you don't want to touch. You'll take the world and all it offers, and then you'll take all you can and put in your coffers. But I am real, and I am sincere to the depth, because the church by my name has made a great misstep. The body my son died for and bled is a body now to the world that's dead. Christianity's mocked. My son not lifted up. And yet my love's as strong, as strong for me as it ever was. What will you do, not what you have done? What will you do with my only son? The time has come, and I will speak as your father from above. And yes, you'll weep, because the mouth of truth will be closed, because the world has chosen it so. Don't tell us the truth of doing what we ought for everything we have. Everything we bought is from our own hard work and what we have done. We frankly don't need your only son. And the doors have closed, as in John did state. He's my revelator to warn people before it's too late. My son stands at the door, and he knocks and he knocks. It's not the door of the world. It's the church that's been blocked. You no longer let my son enter the group. We've even have some who've decided to have a coup. Let's change the face of a commitment choice. Let's change the face so people can rejoice. Let's bring the world inside God's house and keep Jesus outside as he knocks at his house. Either we belong to him or we belong to the world. God's paying attention. And every boy and girl should listen straight and listen strong, because the message you will hear, you won't hear long. Truly, the time has come when God says enough is enough. Is it really true that you want no part of us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? Have you decided that you in yourself are the one that can do it? God says to us, you and me, I watched my son as he did grieve. He looked inside your heart as a young person, but he saw a king, a queen, one who's ready to be God's person. A God who loves. A God who tells the truth. And he said, be careful. You're getting ready to lose. The truth I send will be stopped at a point to when the church has turned their back and will no longer anoint in the name of my son that I watched on the cross. He hung there for you. But to man, it was no great loss. As his father, I watched, and the angels of sorrow, they could not believe that my son was going to die on the morrow. But you took him, you put him on that cross. Every beating, every hurt, every word was not lost. For when he looked up and he looked at me, he called me Daddy. Yes, I grieved. I watched the son I loved so dear. All he wanted to do was bring true cheer to your life, to your love, so you could give another. He said, listen, my sisters and my brothers, the world's moved in, and they've moved me out. But here's the truth. One day you will hear from the heavens, as I come in my glory with the trumpet shout. I am the king. I've not given that away. I am the one you must depend on from day to day. But when my servants have gone so far and I read the heart of man, I say, why do I leave them there? Why? Because the words rejected from time to time, it's Jesus that's in control of my heart and my mind. Can we not, as great warriors, stand strong and true? Can we not say to the devil, what can you do? I'm a child of the King, the living God. And soon, he and I, on that road we will trod together, he'll walk, we'll talk about all things. But folks, until that time comes, you and I work for the King. Let's lift his word while time is here. For soon, all you'll feel is that big tear breaking your heart as it runs down your face. And you'll hear the words, Jesus is no longer in this place. Be careful, be vigilant, and watch with glee. But the ones I'll take with me are the ones that went on their knee, inviting me in from love that's true. As a servant, my son gave to each of you life and peace, and you've rejected it all. He came as a servant. I sent him myself. He came as a servant. There could be no one else. I watched as he came home to a father that loved him so dear. I watched as he looked at you with heartfuls of tear. And he looked at the heart of all that would come and the message he gave to each and every one. I'm coming again. There is no doubt. But you'll see me as King, and I'll come with a shout. And it will be over. What will you do? When my son walks down that aisle, looking in your heart, so true, will you have peace? Will you love him from within? Or will you be passed over for the sins that you continue in? He's my son. He's your love. He's our Savior, so true. Without Jesus, my son, what are you going to do? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation. I thank you for your love. Father, I truly ask your guidance, your strength, and your courage as the battles to be fought will be witnessed by so many. Help us, Father, to glorify the name of your Son and set Satan down. Give us, Father, the true love that can only be found in your Son. Thank you, Lord, for giving us one more chance to preach your word, to love. And Father, look forward to that dance. I ask your blessing now as each of us make commitments, and we make those commitments in Jesus' name. Amen.